Warner Brothers presents an Enigma production. A caption reads, in the summer of 1943, a fierce battle raged in the skies over Europe. Every day, hundreds of young airmen faced death as they flew bombing raids deep into enemy territory. Fewer and fewer were coming back. As it flies through fluffy white clouds set in a blue sky. Music by George Fenton, written by Monty Merrick. Produced by David Putman and Catherine Wyler. Directed by Michael Caton-Jones. The title, in yellow letters, Memphis Belle. The plane enters another huge cloud. Blue sky again, then earth and sky. Tiny figures run about on a wide expanse of grass. A group of US airmen, wearing khaki t-shirts and trousers, are playing American football.
Okay, let's see who we got here. Virge Hoogesteger. What kind of name is that? Youngest of six, worked in the family diner before joining up, writes home every week. Nicknamed the Virgin. Teamwork here. Who's this goon? Jack Bochy from the south side of Chicago, graduate of several reform schools. Better keep him in the background. This is the religious one. There's always a religious one. Eugene McVeigh from Cleveland. There's always one from Cleveland. 19, high strung, always coming down with something. How'd he get in this bunch? Richard Rascal Moore, 18, 5'4", 120 pounds, has a real reputation as a ladies' man. At least that's what he says. Clay Busby, a farmer's son. And look at this, when his father lost their farm in a poker game, Clay started playing piano in a New Orleans cat house. Now the papers will love that. This kid couldn't be more Irish if he tried. Danny Daly. A student, editor of the school paper, valedictorian. He volunteered the day after he graduated from college. It's not bad. I think we got something to work with here.
Danny, red-haired and lithe. A B-17 bomber overhead.
They're coming in!
A caption. England, May the 16th, 1943. The men run towards a busy airfield. Planes are parked alongside military vehicles and first aid trucks.
There's another one!
What are you got today?
In the control tower, Colonel Craig Harriman is on the phone.
At this point, 15 or 16. Well, sir, they're still coming in. How can I promise you 24 planes tomorrow? I don't even know if they'll all make it back. Where? I thought we hit that target a month ago, sir. Yes, I know we have to keep the pressure on, but I lost almost a quarter of my squadron, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will have the ground crews work through the night. But I was hoping to give the boys a little break. We're having a dance tonight in honor of the group's first dance. Yes, sir. Yes, I will give you an update when I know more. Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Sir, 18 planes, 3 still out.
They step out onto the tower's veranda. Planes are still coming in. Harriman moves past other uniformed officers. He joins Colonel Derringer and peers at the sky through binoculars.
So that's the crew of the Memphis Belle, huh?
Those are the enlisted men. You're meeting the officers this afternoon.
They must be the 10 luckiest sons of bitches in the world.
They're just ordinary men, Colonel.
Are you kidding?
Ordinary. First they volunteer for all this, and then they fly 24 missions without a scratch. That doesn't sound very ordinary to me.
Two more, sir!
Gives him an unsmiling look and moves on along the veranda. Derringer's grin fades. He follows.
You know, people back home are getting pretty discouraged by our losses. They're starting to think maybe daylight bombing is a big mistake.
It's the only way we're gonna win this war.
Yeah, well, we gotta get that message across. That's where I come in. The nation is going to fall in love with those boys. The first crew in the 8th Air Force to complete their tour of duty.
They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, well, they will. You're going to make sure of that, right?
Harriman brings up his binoculars as a khaki-green B-17 touches down. Danny and the boys are watching too.
One more. Just one more. Boy, it'd be great if everybody came back today. With the dance and everything.
I give them 4-1. Any takers?
Yeah, I'll have some of that.
Show me your money, Jack.
Hey, Jeannie, loan me some money, huh?
Hey, what do I look like, Wells Fargo?
No, you look like a weenie.
There it is!
The last B-17 comes in.
I heard they brought in a swell band for the dance tonight.
Hey, Clay, maybe they'll let you coon a tune, kiddo.
No, sorry.
Oh, come on, you sing to us on the plane all the time.
Yeah, but you guys ain't got no taste.
The boys pause and gaze back at the B-17. It's in trouble. Only one of its wheels has come down. On the control tower, Harriman and Derringer also turn to watch. Flame and smoke spurt briefly from the back of the plane. The young airmen stare tensely as the crippled bomber touches down. The B-17 slides along lopsided on its belly. Out of control, it leaves the runway and careers over the grass. The two colonels look on, horrified. So do the airmen. As the plane rumbles to a standstill, flames burst from an engine. The bomber explodes in a huge orange fireball, shocking the onlookers. Sickened, the young men cast down their eyes as emergency vehicles race out to the burning plane. Captain Dennis Dearborn has his photo taken.
So you named the plane after your girl back home, is that right?
It's a great angle. You don't sound like you're from the South, though, Captain Dearborn.
I met her when I was in Memphis on business.
Yeah, I bet she's a living doll. Hey, Dennis?
She's a very fine woman, sir.
Another pilot.
A lifeguard. Wow, that's a pretty responsible job, eh, Luke?
Well, it's rough basking in the sun all day, having girls swarm all over you. That's why I joined up, had to get away from all that.
He grins, thumb up to the camera.
That's good.
Yeah.
Val. What is that short for? Valentine. I bet the women love that. Now, you're the bombardier. And, I understand you have 4 years of medical school under your belt.
Well,
believe me, as soon as your picture comes out in Life magazine, every man, woman, and child in America is going to want you to be their doctor.
Colonel Derringer frowns.
Would you look at the camera, Phil?
Phil looks bored.
Sit up straight.
Phil barely stirs.
Smile?
What is there to smile about, sir?
You guys have finished 24 missions. One more and you get to go home. That sure make me smile.
Wait, you're not me. Please just take the picture. Is that all, sir?
Not quite. You'll go back home in the Bell, fly all over the U.S., making speeches, getting people to buy more war bonds, work longer hours, put out more planes. And believe me, you'll be wined, womened, and songed from one end of the States to the other. It'll be tough, but we all have to make sacrifices.
You mean we're going to be famous, sir?
I'm afraid so, Luke.
Colonel Derringer?
I'm Army PR. You can call me Bruce.
We'll follow your orders to the best of our abilities.
These are not orders, Dennis. We're working together on this.
Fine. But I don't want the other men finding out about this yet.
There are pictures in Life, wine, women, and song. You gotta tell them. They'll go nuts.
I don't want them going nuts. Right now, I want them thinking about their jobs, and that's all.
Come on. We could do our jobs in our sleep. Why can't they know?
Because I said so.
My father used to say that.
He exchanges hard looks with Dennis.
Dennis, you're the boss. You tell the crew whenever you think it's right. Now, can we have just one more shot?
What? Are you kidding me? What are you smiling about? You're the one that put this unclean deck in this barracks. Okay, get your money. Once again, Jack Foci gets stepped.
A Nissen Hut dormitory. The men are relaxing.
Clay. Shouldn't you let the Sarge go through Becker's stuff?
The Sergeant just sent it all back to Becker's widow. We don't want her getting anything embarrassing, Danny.
Candy bar.
Me.
Danny, which one of these do you like better?
This one's shiny aluminum, you know, it's very modern. And this one is a little more homey, with the brick and the little bushes.
Yeah, this one.
Why?
Well, it's important, see, because I'm going to plan to open a whole bunch of restaurants exactly like the first one.
right? So you could go to Detroit, say, and get the exact same hamburger you got in Baltimore or Philadelphia.
First, nobody's going to want to get the same old food everywhere they go.
Sure they do. It's comforting.
Danny looks skeptical. He shrugs and moves off. Verge peers at his plans again.
It is comforting.
Love letters.
Wife or girlfriend?
Ooh, read them out loud. Get me the mood for tonight.
Girlfriend. Pocket knife. Photos.
Do you have any clean socks in there?
Dirty book.
Hey, I'll take it. Hey, look. Becker forgot his good luck charm.
Poor slob.
Should have worn it around his neck. Then you never forget it.
Rubbers?
Dibs! You know, Virgin won't need these. Virgin, you gotta promise me if you ever lose your chair, you'll tell me about it.
I'll send it to you, COD.
Say, Clay, give me... Becker owed me 10.
Hey, Jack, don't take his money.
Hey, clam up, you mug face, he owed me. Say, what do you guys know about Germany?
Pretty women?
Good beer.
The hamburger's named after a town there.
A little bird tells me that's where they're sending us tomorrow.
Are you sure? We ain't going to Crowdville. Our plane's broke.
No, it's fixed.
Christ, let's go break it.
Wait a minute, they wouldn't send us to Germany our last time.
They sent us on a milk run to France.
I hope so.
They would.
So does anybody want the rest of this stuff? Who wants the cigarettes?
Smoke. Yeah, let me take the razor blade.
The lid of Becker's box is closed.
All the little birdies went tweet tweet, neath the spreading chestnut tree.
Happy first anniversary, says. Large hangar is crowded with dancing couples, airmen and their girls. On a raised dais in front of a B-17 bomber, a band plays. Singing at the microphone is a Betty Grable lookalike in a white evening dress. Hundreds of blue, white and red balloons hang in a net above the floor. Danny pushes through the throng. He stops and aims a box brownie camera.
Eugene!
Eugene's dancing with a big, plump girl.
I'm sending this to your wife!
Rascal's at a table with a cool blonde.
And now they're saying we may be going to Germany tomorrow. My short, young life could be snuffed out in an instant. I volunteered because I thought it would be fun. I never thought I could... Oh, Faith. When I think I might never see the stars again, or listen to good music, or talk to a beautiful girl like you.
Faith looks bored.
Oh, I'm sorry. You need a drink. I'll be right back.
Rascal joins Danny.
Oh, Danny, she's crazy about me. She's gonna jump on me any second.
He moves on. Danny smiles. Val is with Phil, who drains his glass.
Do you think you had enough?
How come they brought Life magazine and everything? Are they trying to jinx us?
Alec, forget about it. Let's get a couple girls. Let's go dance.
Tell me the truth. The truth. Are you scared?
No. I'm Val. Come on.
He goes. Verge now sits opposite Faith.
That's my favorite food in the whole world. I mean, you've never had a hamburger? It's unbelievable. I mean, you don't know what you're missing.
You sound wonderful. That's been so long since I had any meat.
He takes her hand.
I work the meat very slowly, you know, very, very tenderly. That's the secret. I rub in a little Worcestershire and a little garlic and a little thyme. And then I ease it into a patty, you know, very gently so I don't bruise the meat.
Verge, you're making me so hungry.
He stares gravely into her eyes for a second, then grins broadly. Rascal makes his way through the crowd, back to his table. He stops and looks around. Faith's gone. Colonel Derringer's at a table with Luke.
We're gonna have to excite people on this Bond tour, inspire them, you know? Now, Dennis, he's a fine man, but he doesn't have your enthusiasm.
Look, I'm a qualified pilot, same as him. They just didn't have a plane ready for me, so he's a big shot pilot, and I'm sitting in the dummy seat.
Hey, you're no dummy, Luke. We both know that.
Dennis is buying a drink.
Being captain, well, you've got 9 men who are totally depending on you. So what did you do before the war? I was in the furniture business. This isn't like making furniture. See what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I'm not making any sense, am I?
No, you are, yeah. But look... Thanks a lot, Captain. We'll get back to my date.
Dennis sips his beer. His face takes on a haunted expression. Luke and Derringer are now laughing with a couple of girls. It makes Dennis uneasy, and he moves off.
Give me that case.
Somewhere in my love life, deep blood in my searching.
Hands in pockets, Dennis has wandered outside the hangar. He stops and gazes up at the nose of a B-17 parked in front of him. A picture is painted on the side of the nose. Dennis moves closer, up some metal steps. The picture is of a nubile redhead, in red high heels and cami knickers, cigarette in one hand, phone in the other. Beside her, scrawled in yellow, is Memphis Bell.
Well, I'm gonna miss you, gal. We've been together a long time, and well, you never let me down. I can't say that about many people. You know how to take care of your man, and well, that's about the best thing a fella can say about any gal, I guess. I can't believe it. It's gonna be over so soon. Can't imagine going home. Home. Yeah. Won't be the same, will it?
He looks up into the night sky, then wearily puts his peaked cap back on. He stares at the redhead one more time. He turns, goes down the steps, and walks away across the tarmac. Inside the nose cone of the B-17, a shadow moves. Someone lies down in the cone, pressing his face to the glass. It's Verge. He's in there with Faith, who lights up a cigarette.
Verge, I wish you'd talk to me like that.
Shh, please. You know what Captain would do if he caught us in here? He'd murder me. This is... Oh, jeez, put that out. Come on, let's just get this over with and get back to the dance.
Wait. There. That's there.
Oh, my wrench. I've been looking for that all over. Where'd you find it?
Under my bum.
Oh, thanks, boy. I thought someone stole it. I got kind of
Verge,
worried.
Because... Forget the bloody wrench.
He drops the wrench.
Ah! I'm sorry. Shh, sorry. Here, let me rub it.
You've never done this before, have you?
Why? Am I doing something wrong?
No.
She takes the gum out of her mouth and smiles, then draws his mouth to hers. At the party, Rascal and the crew approach a group of new recruits.
Hey, fellas, is that your brand new plane out there?
Yeah, Mother and Country.
Mother and Country,
Well, we had our first practice today.
How'd it go?
Yeah. Well, we need a couple more. If you guys have any advice.
Yeah, get a gun, shoot yourself in the foot, go home.
Now that's good advice.
Are those size 8s? How about leaving a little will saying when you get your ass shot off on your first mission that those nice shiny new pumps come to me, huh?
The new boy's not amused. He gets up and leaves.
Rascal.
Danny, smoking a cigarette, enters the gents. A guy is bent over the toilet bowl.
You okay?
It's the new boy.
Yeah. Nerves, I guess. We were just fooling around. I remember when I first got here. Same thing.
I'd give anything to be in your place.
One more and you guys get to go home.
Sometimes I wish I could stay.
Sounds crazy, but I'm used to it here. These guys, these jerks are like brothers to me. I never had any brothers. I had 4 older sisters. When we get back home, I don't know when we're all going to get together again. We come from all over. I guess that's why I keep taking their pictures.
He picks up his box brownie.
Well, you'll be like that with your crew. Here, close your eyes. Go on.
The boy does so. Danny taps his nose with a cellophane-wrapped shamrock.
That's good luck.
The boy smiles. Danny claps him on the shoulder and they leave as 2 others enter.
Excuse us, fellas.
The crowd applauds the end of a number. Couples laugh and embrace. Colonel Harriman looks on gravely. Derringer is all...
Hey, Clint, how's your chance?
What's that?
Get up there and sing!
Oh, no, I'm not going to get up in front of all these folks.
Come on, you're a great singer.
I can't do that.
On stage, Derringer takes the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have 10 very special men here tonight.
And I'm sure you know who I mean. They're just about to become the first crew in the 8th Air Force to fly their 25th and final mission. Let's hear it for the crew of the Memphis Belle. Hip, hip!
Hooray!
No, no.
Hip, hip!
It's bad luck.
Hip, hip!
The airmen look uneasy. Danny gestures to Clay with a jerk of the head. Clay pushes through the crowd. Colonel Derringer is unsmiling now, distinctly uncomfortable. He is about to speak when Clay takes over the mic.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. This buddy of mine keeps begging me to sing it. Well, it looks like I ain't gonna get out of it this time, so here goes.
He sits down at the piano.
Danny boy,
No, get back here. You're not getting out of this.
From glen to glen and down the mountainside, the summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must buy. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow.
Danny and Rascal link arms and dance boisterously together in the crush.
Oh Danny boy, I love you so.
The hundreds of balloons suspended above the dance floor are now released, deluging the crowd below in a bubbling sea of blue, white, and red. Outside, a figure walks unsteadily, carrying a bottle. It's Phil.
I don't want to die.
He falls heavily to his knees.
I don't want to die! I don't want to die!
The door to a Nissan hut opens. An airman with a torch goes to Dennis's bed.
Dearborn.
Yeah.
Mission today, breakfast 0600, briefing 0645. Lieutenant Sinclair.
I'm up.
The airman shines his torch on an empty bed.
Where's Lieutenant Lowenthal?
Where's Phil?
He's in the can. He couldn't sleep. The guy had nerves.
Yeah, I can't say as I blame him.
Get him out today, sir.
The airman leaves. Val sits up in bed. He exchanges looks with Luke, who jerks his head pointedly. Val shrugs. Out on the tarmac, ground crew are busy loading bombs onto the B-17s. Val trots among them, searching for Phil. He stops and looks around. In the dorm, Danny aims his camera.
Jack. Oh, no. I can see it. I get back home, I'm doing it to the wife, the door breaks open, and there's Danny taking a picture.
Does anybody see my St. Anthony's medal?
Isn't he the patron saint of missing things?
Yeah, I can't find him.
Maintenance crew work on a plane. Behind them, Val runs into view. He's suddenly knocked over by a cyclist.
6 o'clock, whoa!
The two men sprawl on the ground.
Good morning.
Morning, Lieutenant.
Wait, drunk?
Why, are you?
Are you kidding? We got a mission.
I know, that's why. See, I'm gonna get it today. My number's up. My luck's run out. And I'm gonna die, so I want to give you something to remember me by.
You gotta get a hold of yourself, Junior. I don't want your watch. Everybody's counting on you.
What about my cufflinks? You want my gold cufflinks?
Val hauls the drunken Phil to his feet and walks him away.
Stick your finger down your throat. Stick your finger down your throat, or I'm gonna do it for you.
Phil vomits over the front of Val's shirt.
I feel better.
In the dorm, Danny takes out a bottle of Moet. He studies the label lovingly. Rascal snatches the bottle.
You're not thinking of sneaking this on a plane, are you, Danny? I am shocked at your behavior.
Verge goes out the path.
Rascal tosses the bottle to Verge, who throws it to Clay.
Found it!
Eugene's found his St. Anthony's medal. He kisses it, slips the chain over his head, then crosses himself. Two young airmen stride into the large mess hut where the crews are having breakfast. The Memphis bellboys are sitting together at a long table.
These powdered eggs would gag a buzzard.
You done with that?
You know what, fellas? It's gonna be a milk run today. I can feel it in my
pocket.
That's
what
you said last time when they sent us to Wilhelmshaven.
Yeah, I hope they don't send us back there.
Oh, they wouldn't do that. Not to my mama, sir, baby boy.
Val and Phil arrive at the counter.
Hey, sir.
Bacon?
Yeah.
Eggs. Give him extra, he's real hungry.
The cook gives Phil a big scoop of mash. He's not amused. Dennis arrives with Luke.
Morning, man.
Morning,
yeah. Anything all right?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Stop it. God, you won't have a chance to do that after today, sir.
Oh, I wouldn't be so sure about that, right, Dennis?
They all look round. Phil's dropped his meal tray. Val picks it up.
Well, looks like we've all got the jitters this morning. I'll see you after briefing.
Dennis goes off. Luke playfully slaps Rascal about the head again. Breakfast over, the crews assemble for briefing.
How the hell is he going to get through Navigator's briefing afterwards?
Oh, on a wing and a prayer.
They glance at Phil as they pass. He looks done in.
I thought we'd have a little more practice before we went up.
He'll do fine.
Danny hands the new boy a pencil.
And up!
They all stand as Colonel Harriman arrives.
Ready, gentlemen?
The men sit down.
I hope you all had a good time last night, but now it's back to business.
Curtains are drawn back to reveal a large wall map.
The target for today is Bremen.
Phil, ashen face, closes his eyes. The new boy looks to Danny.
We've been given a chance today, men, to make a real difference in this war, so let's do this job the best we can, leave the rest in the hands of God. With luck, it'll all be over soon. We can go back home to our families. Good luck. Over to you, Major Constock.
Morning, gentlemen. Sergeant, would you get the lights? This is our target area right here. They're long rectangular buildings. The only long rectangular buildings in the area, so you can't miss them. Note this S-shaped road going through the factory for your sighting. The Flugzeugbauer factory is a major assembly plant for 190 fighter planes. Now, you're leading the group today. 360 planes are bombing on your command, so let's be accurate. This is a civilian area here. This is a hospital. These are houses. This is a school and a playground. Note the railway tracks north-northwest.
Hey! Bremen.
Bremen? Oh, we're dead, men. We're dead!
Shut up, rascal!
You shut up,
Cut
virgin!
Cut it out, Clay. What are the odds today?
Well, you figure they're gonna overload us with bombs, so it's gonna be about 30-1 we'll crash and blow up on takeoff, right? Then they're gonna probably throw every fighter they got at us.
Yeah,
so you're
yeah,
at
skip
five
the gory details.
Basically, we're finished.
She's coming.
The crew of the Memphis Belle, now in their flying suits, clamber aboard a jeep. Dennis at the wheel, the jeep sets off with other crew jeeps, heading for the tarmac and their planes. The men sing as they go.
The sound that saved a wretch like me.
As the jeep drives past the parked B-17s, there is a hive of activity. Bombs are being loaded, winched into the hold of the planes one by one. Wing tanks are being filled with fuel. Ammunition boxes are stacked. Last-minute maintenance on the engines. A nose cone is polished. Gunners climb to their places, belts of gleaming brass bullets over their shoulders like bandoliers. A ground crewman chases a motorized maintenance trolley, trying to scramble aboard. Tools are packed away. Ramps and scaffold towers moved out. Two crewmen kneel before the padre as he gives a final blessing, crossing themselves as they get to their feet and replace their caps. The jeep reaches the Memphis Belle and pulls up. The crew leap off, unlit cigarettes in their mouths, grins on their faces. They make for a side door in the plane and clamber aboard. The boys load their gear into the plane. Danny is smoking, as is Clay. They all wear sheepskin bomber jackets. They clamber on board, squeezing themselves into the various nooks and crannies within the aircraft. Crawling on his stomach, Clay elbows his way towards the tail of the plane. In the cockpit, Luke and Dennis.
Tower, this is Army 485, over.
485, go ahead.
This is a radio check. Charlie, Uncle Victor, Tango, Nancy, please acknowledge. Over.
485, I read you.
As soon as you're ready, call in.
Val.
Bombardier checking in.
Phil.
Navigator checking in.
Verge.
Checking in.
Danny.
Operator checking in. Walter checking in.
The right waist gunner checking in.
Eugene, then Jack.
Left waist gunner checking in.
At the rear of the plane, Clay.
Tail gunner checking in.
In the cockpit.
Intercoolers.
Set.
Generators.
Set.
Fuel boost pumps.
Set.
Good. Crew, assume positions for takeoff.
Chief, there's a jeep coming.
A soldier drives across the tarmac and pulls up.
Hey, Captain?
Yeah, we've got a delay. There's a 9/10 cloud cover over the target, but there's a strong chance it'll blow over. Stand by your plane till further notice.
Well, how long?
Hey, don't tell me doodly, sir.
Damn it! They always do this. Man, we're delayed. There's cloud cover over the target. They're asking us to stand down until further notice. Danny, tell the others. Hey, fellas! The target's clouded over. We're delayed.
Aw, son of a bitch!
Snafu.
Situation normal.
All fucked up.
Hear that, Clay?
Okay, Luke, let's take this extra time to double check everything. Let's make this our best mission yet. Brakes.
Didn't you hear? There's complete cloud cover over Bremen. We're not going anywhere.
Brakes.
Set.
They were set before, and they're still set. Intercoolers.
Check!
Val nips outside.
Generator off. Fuel booster pump on. Hydraulic pressure check. Fuel transfer valve.
Phil climbs on top of the fuselage and lies down to enjoy the sun. Clay approaches a farmer by a combine.
Say, Pop, is it busted?
I don't know what's wrong with it.
I got one just like that at home. Why'd you let me take a look at it?
Beside the ball turret.
Ah, you're just nervous.
I'm not just nervous. The thing jammed on me last mission. Look, I'm the one who has to sit in this rat trap.
I checked it out top to bottom. It's okay. Take it easy, Rascal.
Gee, thanks, Virgin.
The name's Virgil.
Not to me, it isn't.
You know, Rascal, I could tell you something.
Hey, what could you tell me, Virgin?
Nothing.
Virge pats Rascal on the head. In the field, Clay is driving the combine. Luke tags behind.
All you gotta do is call up on the intercom and say you have a little trouble in the tail. I come back, you give me the gun for 5 minutes.
It's against regulations, sir.
Oh, come on. Screw the regulations. Sir, if they found out, they put my hot dog in a bun and chow down. Nobody's gonna find out. This is between you and I. Clay, come on. I just want to get my hands on a gun just once. I mean, how am I gonna get girls back home if I haven't killed a single Nazi? Clay, please, I'll do anything you say. Just name your price. Come here.
Whoa, boy!
Luke picks up his dog.
Anything, sir?
Anything, anything. Give me a dog.
The crew unwind, sitting out on the grass near the tail wing of the plane.
7-1, we're not going.
Let's just go. Let's just get it over with.
I'd rather get it over going to a nice little French target.
Yes, if we have to bail out, we can hide in some little French girl's hayloft.
Rascal, is that all you think about?
Yes, Virgin, it is. I have to make up for you. Take up some of the slack.
Why don't you grow up, Rascal?
Shut up, Virgin. You
Rascal,
make me
shoot
you.
Shut up!
All right.
Come on.
Calm down. Getting excited isn't going to make this go any faster. Just relax. Try to be a little bit more like Phil.
Jack snap.
Hey, what do we got here? Poetry.
Hey, Jack, oh, back.
We have a poet
right
on board.
Can we have a book back, please?
Why don't you read us a poem, Danny?
Yeah,
read us
yeah,
book.
Come on.
Yeah,
no.
I want to hear poetry.
No, nothing's finished.
I know you wrote, Danny. Read us something.
No.
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah, I want to hear some poetry. Come on.
Come on,
Danny. Don't be shy.
Read us something you started.
Yeah.
We got a record old Shakespeare on board, fellas.
Jack plays the harmonica.
You got a good tone, Jack.
Tone deaf.
Danny leafs through his writings.
I know that I shall meet my fate
somewhere among the clouds above.
Oh, Lord.
Those that I fight, I do not hate. Those that I guard, I do not love. Nor law, nor duty bade me fight. Nor public men, nor cheering crowds. A lonely impulse of delight drove to this tumult in the clouds.
Rascal thumbs a pack of cards.
I balanced all, brought all to mind. The years to come seemed a waste of breath. A waste of breath the years behind. In balance with this life, this death.
No one stirs. Dennis, the only one seated in a chair, looks at his crew. A jeep approaches.
Captain! You're going up! Start engines in 5 minutes! 5 minutes!
The boys scramble to their feet. Phil looks out from under his peaked cap. Clay hurries after Luke.
Say, Lieutenant, I was thinking if you really want to, you can come back and fire my gun.
I'm not giving you my dog.
Oh, Lieutenant, I don't want that flea-bitten mangy old pooch anyway.
Okay, wake up, Phil. Woo!
Luke slaps the underside of the engine. From the air traffic control tower, a flare is fired. The B-17's propellers begin to spin into action, sending out a trail of grey smoke. Inside the cockpit, buttons and switches are pressed and flicked. The plane's engines roar into life. The other B-17s are fired up on the tarmac, their propellers whirring, sending out clouds of grey smoke. Jeeps drive past. Men hurry on foot, some pulling away equipment. Dennis pulls back his side window in the cockpit and signals to the ground crew. They pull away the wooden chocks from underneath the Memphis Belle's wheels. From the cockpit, Dennis gives the ground crew the thumbs up. He closes the window, and the plane is waved off the hard standing. The wheels slowly turn, and the aircraft's nose seems to lollop as the B-17 pulls away. Other planes begin to taxi off. Each bomber has its own painted lady on its side fuselage. Names like Vacillating Virgin, Mama's Boys, Sea Cup, and Mother and Country, to mention but a few. Behind the nose cone, the bomb aimer sits, huddled and visible as the planes trundle to the takeoff point. The airmen are jostled about in the waist of the Memphis Belle, quietly occupied with their own thoughts. Danny tries to write in his notebook. Rascal shuffles playing cards. Clay carves his wooden model aeroplane. Jack practices his vanishing tricks with swift hands. Eugene fiddles nervously with his medal. The B-17s file into position to patiently wait for clearance. On the veranda of the control tower, Colonel Harriman checks his watch. He glances upwards. Another flare is fired. Harriman looks at Derringer, whose eyes are firmly fixed on the squadron of planes lined up on the airfield. With all four propellers whirring, the magnificent Flying Fortress lifts off the ground and with a gentle sway, eventually finds its course and continues its flight path towards the skies above. One after the other, the B-17s get off the ground. On her way down the runway, the Memphis Belle. In the cockpit, Luke, looking out of the window, peers round about him. He looks at his watch. Dennis holds steady the control column as the Memphis Belle prepares for takeoff.
Here we go, boys.
Dennis pushes up the thrust on the engine. The plane rattles and shudders. Eugene clutches his medal. The plane speeds along the runway. The control column is pulled back and the plane rises off the ground. Bell is airborne. It soars over the East Anglian countryside, its sharp silhouette cast on the cornfields below. Their colleagues on the ground look up at the skies. Some watch astride bikes, others have abandoned their cycles. As the squadron disappears through the clouds, the men wander back to their duties. Checking the instrument panel in front of them, Luke, Dennis and Verge stare intently ahead. The plane heads towards more cloud. Jack and Eugene stand beside their machine guns. A wide ammunition belt is threaded through them. Jack, kissing the palm of his hand, slaps the gun.
Okay, Mona, baby. We're gonna get us a nice 109A. We did it before, we'll do it again.
Sweet talking, your gun won't help, Jack. Just straight shoot.
Hey, shut up, Gene.
Well, you know what? I got my two Nazi fighters.
Hey, shut up!
Okay, Jack.
Jack peers through the gun's sight. More enveloping cloud. Up in the cockpit...
Climb power. I know. Watch the cowl flaps. I know.
Nothing but soft white cloud fills the windscreen. Only a chink of blue sky can be seen. As the Memphis Belle comes through the cloud, the tail of another plane comes into view.
Look out!
Dennis, pushing down the control column, steers the plane clear, swooping low to duck underneath the other plane. Dennis, confident and pleased with his reaction, looks up at the other aircraft. Luke, who's also ducked, opens his eyes. Dennis blows a sigh of relief. Blue skies. The sun lights a path above the clouds. The squadron of B-17s fly in formation.
Luke, take over for a minute.
Dennis's flask.
Hey, it's Baby Ruth.
Who's our right-wing man?
Mother and country.
Oh, swell. The rookie crew.
Soup?
No, thank you, sir.
Luke?
Dennis takes a sip. Below the pilots, Val and Phil.
Captain, okay if I arm my bombs?
Yeah, go ahead.
Phil offers a pill.
Val! Take this.
You're not gonna die. Just
in case.
You're flak happy. Now just do your job and shut up.
He leaves Phil disgruntled and heads down the fuselage to the bomb bay. He sets about priming the bombs by removing their pins.
Bombs on.
Rascal, there's nothing wrong with the ball turret.
Don't worry your pretty head about it, Verge.
I'm just doing my job, Rascal.
Oh, now you do it? Thanks a lot, buddy.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Rascal clambers into the ball turret, and Verge secures its hatch. The turret is lowered out of the plane and swivels slowly as if scanning the skies.
We're at 10,000 feet. Let's hear those oxygen checks.
Clay! How you doing back there?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Lieutenant.
Clay peers through the tail gun sight. Looking out, he sees five planes flying in close formation to his left. Trying his best to keep a pencil and ruler steady, Phil marks out a map.
Captain, we're exactly 5 miles south-southwest of Great Yarmouth. We're in formation. This is the rally point.
Okay, boys. We're on our way.
The squadron of B-17s fly in close formation like a pack of hunting animals. Climbing higher, the crew now wear oxygen masks. Inside the Memphis Belle, Danny wraps his bottle of Moët in a thick garment and tucks it away under his metal tray, where his notebook lies open. Luke and Dennis make checks on the instrument panel.
Okay, listen, man, I'm showing 30 below zero up here.
let's be careful. Don't touch your guns with your bare hands or they'll freeze right to it. I don't want anyone losing any fingers up here. Just keep checking your mask for frozen saliva. That ice gets down there and blocks your oxygen flow, and I don't want anyone passing out on it.
Yeah. In short, don't drool.
In short, check your mask, rascal. All right, let's keep the intercom free. Call out those fighters and don't shout. We can hear you loud and clear. Let's make this our best run yet, boys. One that we can really be proud of.
Right in the pickle barrel, huh, Dennis?
That's right. Keep your minds on your job. Work together and stay alert.
Captain, I'm getting AFN here. Can I put it on?
Yeah.
Please, sir? Come on, Captain.
All right, Danny. When I say that's enough.
Danny turns the radio up. Eugene writes a note and sticks it on the window. It reads, "Couldn't get laid last night." Jack sings.
Gypsy violin.
What a mercy, Jack.
Rascal sits cramped up in the revolving ball turret.
Heaven? Come to my bunk. I'll give you heaven, honey.
Danny tries to tune the radio. Up in the cockpit, Dennis sighs anxiously.
Okay, let's test our guns.
The gunfire wakens Clay, who has dozed off. He checks around. Rascal fires from the ball turret. Verge in the top turret sees something.
Little friends, 3 o'clock high.
The pack break away, with three of the B-17s peeling off towards the so-called Little Friends. Luke watches them go.
Oh, God. I'd give anything to fly a fighter. You're all alone. You can do anything you want. That's fine.
It's the best pen money can buy!
Why can't I have the baseball card?
Here for him. Here you go, Jack.
I'm more of a football fan myself. You know what it bears?
Phil snatches the cards and plonks the pen in Jack's hand.
Here! Happy?
Yeah!
Thanks, Jack!
Thanks, Jack.
Phil crouches low and heads back through the plane.
Mother and Country calling Memphis Belle, come in.
Read you, Mother, what's wrong?
Nothing, Danny, I just had a question.
Stan, we're not supposed to use the radio unless it's an emergency.
Oh, sorry, it was about my logbook. Whether I should write down every radio communication I hear or just some of the...
Write down everything at first. Later on, you'll start to figure out what's important. We better sign off.
Okay, thanks, Danny. I won't bother you again.
Hey, Smile, I'm gonna take a picture here.
Danny points his box brownie through the window at the rookie plane flying alongside them. A hand waves back from its side window.
Hope it comes out. Okay, boys. We're getting close to enemy territory now, so let's be on guard. Call out the fighters as soon as you see them. Clay, you sure sang great last night. You should do like we keep saying, and after the war, go to Hollywood and get a record contract like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, so we can say we knew you won.
Nah, I'm gonna get a nice little farm, a nice little life, and settle down. Luke's the one who should go to Hollywood. Shoot, he can star in the movies.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what I'm gonna do after the war, except not work.
Yeah, Luke, why go back to the daily grind of being a lifeguard? Take it easy.
I know exactly what I'm gonna do.
Oh, Verge, if I had one more word about that stupid restaurant.
It's not stupid. At least I've got a plan. What are you gonna do after the war, rascal?
Come to your restaurant and rob it.
Valentine's the smart one. He's almost a doctor already. Hey, what kind of doctor you gonna be, Val?
A rich one. What about Phil? What's he gonna be after the war? I know. A mortician.
From the cockpit, Dennis joins in the conversation.
Hey, fellas, think about this. My family has a furniture business. We make furniture and then we sell it. You could all come to work for me.
Reacting to the men's silence, Dennis shifts uneasily in his seat.
Like I said, don't give it a thought.
Yeah, that's just what we need, you ordering us around for the rest of our lives. Let's do the pre-flight check.
Yeah, don't hug the intercom.
Call out them fighters.
Check your masks.
Let's make this our best one yet.
I'm not that bad.
Say, Danny, bye. You didn't say what you're gonna do when it's all over with.
Clay, I don't even like to think about it. I mean, what if something happens? I mean, well, we could all be old men by the time the war is over. It just seems so far away, you know? I'm sorry, fellas.
Bandits, 5 o'clock!
The crew swing into action, eyes alert, their guns at the ready.
Gonna get him, little friends!
Hold your fire till Jerry's in range. Don't waste your ammunition.
The Iron Cross insignia on the enemy wings glint in the sun. The men breathing heavily into their masks keep their eyes peeled. Eugene shoots.
I said hold your fire!
That was Genie the Weenie!
Shut up, jackass!
The German planes form mutual arcs of fire. The German pack breaks as they dart off in all directions and disappear into the clouds.
6 o'clock high.
9 o'clock high.
219 is 12 o'clock high.
Not straight. Three fighters, 9 o'clock, coming around.
Surprise, Adam, Jack. I'm sorry, Hudson's 10, 11 high. Can't reach him.
Got him in my sights, Lieutenant.
Bogey, 4 high. Daddy, see him?
Two more, 12 o'clock high. Coming fast.
Indy 109, going down at 11.
Man, it's 65.
A fighter plummets.
Bail it out!
Any planes you see going down to Danny can put them in his logbook.
You know, we've done it before.
Rascal fires from the ball turret. A German plane is heading straight for the Memphis Belle. Danny aims his machine gun, eyes fixed and petrified. A B-17 nosedives.
Come on, come on.
The note comes adrift. Angry from having his opportunity marred by the paper covering his face, Jack fires like a maniac. Val watches their formation.
They're going after the first flight!
A B-17 called Windy City. She's being picked off by two German planes. Her two left wing engines begin to trail a line of smoke.
Windy City's on fire!
Why don't they do something?
Come on, bail out, you guys!
Come on, wake up! Get out!
Jesus, there's a hole in the pilot's window.
Their sister plane. He's shaken.
Here! Navigator, checking.
I say check in, that means right away.
Guts! Somebody's guts are all over the nose!
Any damage? Crew, check your stations.
One's okay.
Tell okay. Radio room okay. Keep calling out those bandits.
Phil, not wanting to look, is drawn to the sight of the blood and guts spattered across the windscreen. He rips his mask from his face. Verge looks out from the top turret.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Danny is listening through earphones.
Captain, I just heard from C-Cup. They're taking over the lead.
You hear that, Val?
Roger.
Okay, C-Cup's lead plane now. When they drop their bombs, so do we.
Got it.
Dennis turns to...
Any shoots from Windy City?
Luke shakes his head.
Them guys didn't even have time to pee in their pants. Here 1 minute, gone the next.
If you gotta go, that's the way.
Listen, we have to talk about it?
Hey, fellas. I heard a good one from the waist gun on Windy City. What was his name?
Cooley.
No, I mean the left one.
What am I talking to myself? Cooley!
I mean the right one.
I know the guy.
Tall guy?
He wasn't so tall.
Well, everybody's tall to me.
Lindquist.
No.
Well, something like that.
Verge, you're not even close. Anyway, a plane gets shot down. The guy bails out and the Gestapo gets him. His leg is broken, so they have to amputate. He says, do me a favor. After you cut it off, we give it to one of your pilots and have him drop it over my base in England. And they do it.
Rascal, don't tie up the intercom.
Wait, this is a quick one. The next week, they cut off his other leg. He says again, we have someone drop it over my base in England. And they do it. The next week, they gotta cut off his arm. He asks them one more time, will you please have someone drop it over my base in England? This time they say, nein, this we can't do anymore. And he says, why not? And they say, we think you're trying to escape.
Oh, son of a gun.
I don't get it.
That was pretty good, Rascal. I think even Dennis liked that one.
Eugene.
Stoller, that's the guy's name, Stoller.
No.
Stoller wasn't on Windy City.
You sure?
Wait a minute, he'll come to me here.
Oh, yeah, I can see that guy's face.
Yeah, me too.
Verge looks down.
Well, whatever his name was, it was a good joke.
Okay, man, let's stop fooling around. Jerry's out there, let's look sharp.
Damn, are the little friends leaving already?
Well, they sure know when to run out of fuel.
They ain't dumb.
Eugene, suddenly panicked, rummages through his flying suit.
My medal. Oh my god, my medal! Where's my medal? Have you seen it?
He scrabbles about on the floor of the plane. Jack watches him. Suddenly, Jack sees something glint amongst the ammunition. He bends down and picks up Eugene's round gold St. Anthony.
Hey, Wiener!
Jack holds it up teasingly.
Thanks, buddy!
Here!
No! Why'd you do that?
Now we're even!
Ah! Right waist! Right waist, call in! Radio operator, get back there and see what's happening!
Kids game that you're playing!
Hey!
Don't ever touch me when I'm on my gun!
Gene!
You hear me?
Break it up! Jack! Break it up!
Back on his guns!
Gene!
What?
What happened?
Jack threw my medal out the window! I'm finished, Daddy! I'm finished!
Danny thinks quickly.
No, you're not. Look, here! Take my lucky rubber band! It works! I swear to God, it works! You'll be all right. You okay?
Yeah, okay.
You'll be okay! Yeah. I want it back!
Okay!
Eugene wears Danny's rubber band over his wrist.
Navigator, give us a position. Sir, that's the third Reich down there.
Now that shit really hits the fan.
Back at the airbase, Colonel Harriman sits alone behind a desk. He is glancing across at a wall map. In his hand is a pencil. Agitated. In his other hand, he holds a sharpener. He puts the pencil into it.
Sir, I think you better come take a look.
Harriman, grabbing his hat, gets up and follows.
We gotta liven up that whole area. And make sure the banner is centered, right?
In another room, Derringer is hanging bunting.
What's the meaning of this? And then put the piano up on the platform. It's just a little party, Colonel.
I did not order this. I didn't order this.
Leave this stuff to me. The Memphis Belle is my job.
And my job is to approve everything on this base. I did not authorize a homecoming.
Craig, you're working a little hard at being a hard ass. What's the harm in a little party in honor of these guys? They're special.
I have 24 crews up there. They are all special to me.
Well, that's a great story, but baloney's my business. I know it when I see it. All you care about is getting planes in the air. Results, round-rosing HQ. The only man in the whole...
Come with me.
Derringer's solemn face does as he's told.
You don't care if these men live or die. It's just another airplane. If it was up to
Shit!
You, he's down.
Harriman empties the contents of a drawer onto his desk.
Start reading.
Derringer sits down apathetically. Harriman takes out a letter and hands it to him.
This one's from a father whose son had his head blown off over Lorient. Start with that.
I think you're cracking up.
Read it!
Derringer, pulled up short, stares at him. Slowly he takes the letter from Harriman's hand.
Dear Colonel Harriman, I want to thank you for your letter about my son, Tommy. He was only at your base a month, but he must have made a big impression because you described him right down to his boots. I wish you could have told me how Tommy died, but I guess we have to be careful about security and all. I'm glad he was brave and did his job to the end. Maybe his mother and I raised him right after all.
Derringer's brow is furrowed. He reads on.
I guess we'll get used to him being gone. But not too soon, I hope. Well, I can always read your letter, and that will bring him back.
Dear sir, your letter of December 10th finally made me realize that my husband is gone. I have been living in the false hopes that the telegram I received was a mistake.
Dear sir, Larry, I am writing on behalf of my parents, who appreciated your letter to them about my brother's death. We were all glad to know that Frank didn't suffer and was not alone when he died.
I saw him off at the train station when he left to go overseas, and he was happy and excited to be doing something important with his life. He couldn't stop looking at the stripes on his shoulder.
I hope when this is all over that the world will have learned that there is a better way to solve its problems. My prayers are for my husband's comrades. May they fly safely and return home to their loved ones soon. Best wishes, Mrs. Peter.
Footsteps to reveal the men on board the Memphis Belle. They breathe nervously into their oxygen masks. Each man's eyes are suspicious and vigilant, trained on their gun sights. Suddenly, from out of the sky,
bandits! 5 o'clock!
Bogey, 5 o'clock low.
5 o'clock, 3 o'clock low.
1 o'clock high, Captain, we're down!
We said don't yell on you.
Breaking out of 5 o'clock, Bolter, watch out!
That's a fighter in camp.
I had blue eyes.
Look,
see
this one coming down from six?
9 to
12 o'clock,
high. He's going for C-Cup. Look out!
An enemy aircraft clips the nose of C-Cup. The bombardier is spewed out into the void.
Oh, God. He doesn't have a parachute.
Dennis stares ahead.
Everybody make sure you've got your chutes.
Parachutes? There isn't enough room to breathe in here.
And put your safety strap on.
It hurts.
Do it!
Rascal clips himself in. C-Cup rolls and sways like a boat.
Captain, I just heard from C-Cup. They're dropping out of formation. We're in the lead now.
Bye-bye, C-Cup.
Clay looks out at the pitching bomber.
The boogeyman's gonna get him.
Danny, give me C-Channel to talk to group.
Bastards.
C-Cup drifts further and further from the pack of B-17s.
This is the Memphis Belle. We're lead plane now. I'm gonna do my best to get the bombs right in the pickle barrel and get us out of here safe. I'm gonna need all the help you can give me, so let's tighten up out there and be on our toes. We're 3 minutes, 30 seconds from the bomb run.
The B-17s cut through the pale blue sky above the white cloud cover. Inside the Memphis Belle, Val peers out over the thick clouds. A speck emerges in the distance.
Bloodsucker, 1 o'clock level, ball turret, watch out!
As Rascal turns the ball turret towards the German fighter, he's unable to lift his weapons.
A jam, he's coming at me!
As the enemy plane closes in, shooting rapidly, Rascal unjams the ball turret and returns fire. He hits his target.
And your mother too!
Verge looks down at Rascal and turns quickly on his heel. The crew shoot at another attacking German fighter. Jack jerks back, falling onto the floor.
Oh my God, Jackson! Jackson!
Now, get back there and look at Jack.
I have 2 minutes from the bomb run, Captain.
Okay, Gene, take care of it.
Hold still!
Eugene kneels down by Jack and, taking off his glove, inspects the wound on Jack's leg.
What are you laughing about?
It's a scratch! Look, it's nothing! And you're screaming like a stuffed pig!
They destroyed my favorite harmonica! Oh, you rotten son of a bitches!
He throws it down.
Son of a bitch! Scared the shit out of me!
Eugene laughs hysterically. Lying back on the floor, Jack puts his hand behind Eugene's ear and magically pulls out his precious medal. Eugene grabs it.
How'd you do that?
Magic.
Black,
12 o'clock level.
Here we go.
The B-17 shudders in the wake of the flak.
They got something like 500 anti-aircraft guns around Bremen.
I can live without knowing that, Lieutenant.
Hey, Clay. What are the odds of us getting out of here alive?
Just figuring that out. Damn.
Oh, jeez!
What's wrong, ball turret?
A big piece of Nazi flak just hit my turret.
Are you okay?
I guess.
You guess or you are?
I am.
All right. I hope everybody's wearing their flak jackets.
Dennis speaks to the crew, who quickly put on their cumbersome flak jackets, struggling to stay upright as the plane judders violently.
Mother and country calling Memphis Belle. Danny, this flak, it's not like I expected. Can the captain fly above it or something?
We've got to fly straight through it or we'll be off target. It's just 4 minutes.
An explosion throws a piece of shrapnel into the waist of the plane. It lands on one of Danny's notebooks, scorching it. Smoke begins to appear. Danny flaps his hand above, igniting. In the cockpit, Luke and Dennis look around them.
Bombardier, I'm turning on the autopilot. You're flying the plane from here to target. She's all yours.
Roger.
Val peers through the bomb sight, his head jolting as the plane moves up and down. Phil eyes him uneasily. In the cockpit...
Hold her steady, Val.
Christ, I've never seen it this thick before.
An explosion. There is red everywhere.
It's not me! It's not me! It might be you!
It's not me!
I think he's in shock!
Oh, I'm not shocked! You're in shock! You're
Val,
in shock!
You better get up here quick!
Hey, I'm on the bomb run.
Well, it's definitely not me!
Definitely not me either!
There's somebody in the cockpit!
Kevin! Tomato soup!
Verge holds up a jagged piece of crushed tin.
What was that?
The plane jerks forcefully.
There's a hole as big as my dick in the left wing.
Where are those in fuel?
Verge, get on the fuel transfer pump.
Verge ducks down behind the cockpit.
Captain, the electrics must be out on the left side. The pump's not responding. I'm gonna do it by hand.
Luke, get back there. Give me a hand. We need to save as much fuel as we can.
2 minutes to target.
Luke follows Verge to the fuel transfer pump. Beneath the cockpit, Val tries to keep his eyes steady on the sight.
Bomb bay doors open.
Val pushes one of three levers forward. The large bomb bay doors open slowly. Luke and Verge are struggling with the transfer pump. The plane hits flat.
Please. Verge! Okay!
On Luke's signal, Verge begins to pump manually. Val tries to locate the target through his sight. The ground is shrouded by white clouds, scattered with black specks.
Bombardier to pilot. Target is covered. Looks like a smokescreen.
Fuel transfer complete. I think we saved a little.
Bombardier, how does that target look?
Target totally obscured. 30 seconds to target.
Removing the glove on his right hand, Val adjusts the sight. There is still no visibility. Reaching out with his left hand, he pulls back the red cover on the bomb release switch and holds his finger just above it. Phil watches anxiously. The flak is getting worse. Phil holds his hand to his head and closes his eyes. In the cockpit...
Listen, Val, I need those bombs on target. The whole group is bombing with us.
Well, if I can't see, I can't see.
Dennis looks down at the control panel and, reaching out, moves to turn off the automatic pilot. Luke removes his mask.
What do you think you're doing? We came here to bomb a factory. We're gonna bomb a factory, even if it means going around again.
You're crazy going around on a bomb run! It's suicide! That's like asking the Nazis to blow us out of the sky!
I'm in command!
They stare steadily at each other.
Captain, what do you want me to do?
Val, his eye against the sight, waits for orders. Phil sits nervously nearby, his breathing heavy. Val's finger hovers over the release switch.
Bombardier, give me a report.
Visibility zero.
Dennis reaches forwards again.
You do it, and we're dead!
Dennis looks up at Luke, then switches off the automatic pilot.
We're going around again! Danny, give me C-channel to talk to group.
Beneath the cockpit, Phil moves desperately towards the release switch. Val stands protectively over it, pushing him away.
Just drop him, Val!
Just shut up!
Please.
Sitting dejectedly on his chair, Phil looks pleadingly up at Val.
It'll take us 5 minutes to get back to the start of the bomb run. Navigator, give me a position. Navigator, did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
In the Memphis Belle, Dennis addresses the brave squadron of B-17s.
Everybody listen. I know you want to drop the bombs and get the hell out of here. But there's civilians down there. There's a school right next door, and if we don't drop these bombs right in the pickle barrel, there's going to be a lot of innocent people killed.
What's the difference? They're all Nazis.
Luke, shut up. Now, I don't want to do this any more than you do. We were sent here to bomb a factory. If we don't do it, somebody's going to have to come back here again and do it for us. Nobody said this was going to be fun and games. It's our job. Ours. Nobody else's. If we do this thing right, it's something we can be proud of our whole lives. And that's all I want, fellas. Believe me. Let's get back to work. Call out those fighters when you see them.
In the cockpit, Luke and Dennis stare steadily at each other. The B-17s glide in formation. A troop of German fighters swoop towards them.
Bandits, 3 o'clock high.
I see him.
In the top turret, Verge is firing at the enemy. The crew fire at random from their various positions. One of the German fighters plummets through the sky.
Bandit, 12 o'clock high. Look out, cockpit. He's heading straight for you.
What am I supposed to do? Spit at him?
Another fighter heads straight at Dennis and Luke, sweeping in front of the cockpit, flying upwards.
Tail gunner, how you doing back there?
I'm just peachy, Lieutenant.
Well, if you need any help, let me know.
I sure will, Lieutenant, but I think I'm doing fine right now. Oh, Lieutenant, actually, I do need some help back here.
Tail gunner, what's wrong?
Well, I'm running out of ammo, Cap.
I'll take care of it.
Why can't somebody else do it? Left waist, right waist.
Chief, we got fighters all over us back here.
Dennis, I'm the only one not doing anything. Okay, but make it fast.
Left side fighter coming at 10. He's coming in half roll. That's him, 109. Barry, 5 high, coming down. Gene, watch yourself.
Buckwolf, 2 high, breaking under. Watch him, Walter.
Luke heads towards the tail of the plane, carrying his oxygen.
Hey! Clay!
Fighter out of control.
Hey.
Black flag. Watch it,
Great. Fighter, 9 o'clock level. I owe you one, brother. Nice view you got out here.
Luke takes Clay's place in the tail gun. Clay works on his model plane.
Tail gunner, see that bandit 7 low. He's all yours, Clay. 2 bogeys coming in, 4 high. Messerschmitt's coming fast.
Luke peers through the sight on the tail gun and fires.
I'm on him. Two of them, 3 high. Keep your eyes up. Coming low. Coming like a funnel pitch. I got him!
The German fighter falls, slicing through the tail of Mother and Country. The damaged B-17 hangs in the air.
It's the rookies. They got the rookies.
Hearing Rascal, Danny looks out, then picks up the radio.
Memphis Belle, Mother and Country, come in. Memphis Belle, Mother and Country, come in!
The severed plane spirals downwards through the clouds. The crew of the Memphis Belle listen to the screams. As the radio howls, Danny sits back sadly, closing his eyes. Luke scrambles out of the tail gun, holding back tears, his face damp with sweat. Clay takes back his rightful place. Holding his hand over his mouth, Danny leans forward and turns off the radio. Replacing his oxygen mask, Danny stands resolutely behind his gun.
How many shoots from Mother and Country?
I saw 2.
Yeah, 2.
Luke looks around guiltily and putting on his oxygen mask, he gets up. Crushed beneath him on a bullet belt is Clay's model plane.
Captain, it's the bomb run. Okay, Bombardier, I'm turning it over to you.
Roger.
It's all yours, though.
Dennis puts the automatic pilot back on. Shaken, Luke returns to the cockpit.
Luke! Right after delivery on the way to Raleigh Point, I'm going to take some evasive action and try to avoid some of this black. Be ready on runner.
Whatever you say, Dennis. You know what you're doing.
Dennis turns to look at Luke, surprised. Luke stays looking ahead and puts on his headphones. Val is looking through the sight. The view is still cloudy.
Bombardier, how does that target look?
Like shit.
Reaching forward, Val pushes the lever for the bomb bay doors. The doors open, moving slowly apart. Val puts out his hand for the bomb release switch. Phil watches him closely. The plane still judders. Val stares over his shoulder at Phil. They look steadily at each other.
Captain, I still can't see a thing!
In the cockpit, Luke, breathing heavily, turns to look at Dennis. Dennis stares ahead. Frightened, Eugene clutches his medal. Danny grabs the base of his rotating machine gun. Clay bounces uncomfortably.
Oh, Lord, come on.
As the plane judders, he closes his eyes. In the cockpit, Dennis glances at Luke.
Bombardier, how does that target look?
Target's still covered, Captain. What do you want me to do?
Dennis eyes Luke, then looking down, he reaches for the control panel.
Captain, do you read me?
Yes, I read you.
Luke looks Dennis up and down. Val keeps his eye to the sight as the plane shakes.
Captain, my sight says I'm over the target. I've got to do something. Now, what do you want me to do?
Val holds his finger just above the bomb release switch. Phil stares across at him. With his eye fixed firmly on the sight, Val watches as the clouds begin to thin, gradually revealing the target.
That's it. That's it.
That's it! Bombs away!
Finally, Val flicks the bomb release button and the bombs drop out of the hatch. The other B-17s release their bombs. Danny looks out as they hit their target. Flashes of light appear on the ground, smoke billows above the munitions factory. The crew of the Memphis Belle sit back dazed and relieved. Dennis looks down and sighs, then lifts his head.
Okay, boys, we've done our job for Uncle Sam. Now we're flying for ourselves.
The Memphis Belle soars upwards. Inside, the exhausted crew prepare for the flight home. Phil taps Val on the shoulder and gives him a thumbs up.
Bomb doors closing.
Frantically, Danny searches his wrist for his elastic band, then looks over at Eugene. Eugene looks up at the sky, shielding his eyes from the sun.
Jerry, break and load at 9 o'clock! Watch it! Watch it!
I'm jammed. I'm stuck again. Oh, shit, I'm stuck again!
Verge rushes to help Rascal. He lifts the cover to the ball turret. It's been blown away, leaving Rascal hanging precariously. Verge releases the strap.
I'm here, buddy! Come on, Rascal!
Verge pulls Rascal up into the plane.
You're okay! You're safe! You're all right! You're gonna be okay, okay? Listen to me! You're all right? You're okay, come here! You're okay, you're going home!
In the waist of the plane as Danny shoots, his box brownie slips off the side. As he bends to pick it up, an explosion. Rascal aims an extinguisher at the yellow patches of fire. Verge kneels down next to an unconscious Danny, feeding him oxygen.
Rascal, watch Danny!
As Rascal bends over Danny, Verge races to the front of the plane.
Danny's hurt.
Bad. Danny's hurt. Get back there right away and see what you can do.
Well, how bad is it?
Well, I guess it's pretty bad, Val.
Phil.
What are you doing? It's Danny.
I can't. There's fighters.
I'll cover your gun. Just go.
Maybe somebody in the back of the plane can take care of
it. Hey, you're the doctor.
Just it. I'm not. Phil, I lied.
I only had 2 weeks of medical school before I enlisted. I don't know anything.
Val looks panicked.
Just do it!
Phil grabs Val, pushing him out. In the waist of the plane, Val bends over Danny as Verge and Rascal look on anxiously. Val carefully removes Danny's flak jacket, lifting it over Danny's cut face. Verge holds an oxygen mask over Danny's mouth as Val undoes the zip on Danny's bomber jacket. He reveals a messy wound in Danny's stomach. It's bleeding heavily. The men glance up uneasily at each other. Verge watches Val, who worriedly removes his gloves and takes a needle from the first aid box. Eugene fires at a circling German fighter. The Memphis Belle jerks violently.
Look out! Somebody just shot a big chunk out of the tail.
An engine bursts into flames.
There's a fire, number four! Cut fuel, feather prop, fire extinguishers, generator off!
Bullets hit the cockpit.
Close those fighters!
Oh, jeez. Danny's in bad shape.
How's Rascal?
He's okay.
Prop feather, but the extinguisher's not working. We gotta do something quick or we're gonna lose that wing. We gotta dive.
Dennis looks startled.
All right, but I'm gonna need your help to pull out of it.
I'm not going anywhere.
I've dispelled the group. We're gonna have to dive to put out this fire. Wingman, you're lead plane now. Everybody, hang on!
Dennis slowly eases the control column forward. The Memphis Belle, with its right engine blazing, drops downwards. Inside, the crew hang on as the plane dips and rattles. The B-17 shakes. Objects and documents are flung around the body of the plane. The flames drag back along the engine as the Memphis Belle plummets. The plane falls faster and faster. The crew hang on desperately. Luke glances sideways at the burning engine. The flames still roar.
275! We're exceeding maximum dive speed! We've got to level her off!
Fire's not out, just a little bit more!
A little bit more and we're going to lose the wing!
Trust me! Just a few seconds more! Come on, baby, come on!
Luke glances frantically from the dials to the engine. The flames begin to fade.
It's out!
Dennis pulls back on the control column.
Come on, baby. Hold on, hold on.
Dennis's face distorts as he struggles to lift the plane. The arrow on the smashed speed dial goes down gradually. With smoke pouring from the engine, the Memphis Belle straightens up. In the cockpit, Luke and Dennis rapidly inhale oxygen as they compose themselves.
Crew, we're at 10,000 feet. You can come off oxygen.
With tomato soup and smudges of dirt on their faces, Dennis and Luke look at each other.
Thanks, Luke.
Once in a while, I'll do something, right?
Danny is still unconscious. Val injects the needle into his arm.
I don't know what else to do. He's lost a lot of blood.
How far is it to base?
From three engines, it's two, maybe 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours? He'll never make it.
Val, help him!
What do you want from me? This man needs a hospital. All I got is a stupid first aid kit.
Val looks down angrily. Eugene removes the precious rubber band from his glove and puts it around Danny's wrist.
Here you go, Danny.
Okay, there's one more thing we can do.
What? Let's do it.
We can put a parachute on him, we can push him out.
Jesus Christ, Val!
It's crawling with Germans down there. They'll pick him up, and they'll take him to a hospital.
Yeah, but they'll kill him for fun first.
Rascal, it's his only chance. Another crew did it. This guy lost an arm.
Yeah, but that guy was conscious.
And Danny can't even pull the cord.
Pull it first, we can put it under his arm.
He can fall in a lake and drown.
Val, can't we wait?
We're gonna be over the North Sea in 10 minutes, then it's gonna be too late.
Well, we're gonna do it. We're gonna have to do it now.
The men look at each other questioningly. Then at Danny.
Watch his back!
Keep his head up!
Watch his back!
Slowly!
Push.
Slowly!
Push.
Careful! Come on!
They move Danny towards the doors.
All right, Val, I'll go along with anything you say. You're the doctor.
We just don't have a choice, Dennis. We gotta do it.
All right, tell the men that's my decision.
Dennis!
Phil! I don't want any argument.
Val! Please don't do it!
It's his only chance.
No, you're his only chance, but you're too goddamn chicken to help him!
If he stays on board, he'll die.
If you throw him out there, he's gonna die, and you know it!
The bomb bay doors open, revealing patchwork fields below. Phil turns to Val.
Val, you can save him! So what if you're not a doctor yet? You can help him! I know you can! Val, he needs you! He's gonna die! Don't do this, Val! You'll always regret it! I know you're scared! But we're all scared! Now go help Danny!
Let's go! All right, hold his head! Okay, all right!
At the airbase in the sunshine, some of the men are playing baseball as they wait for the return of the B-17s.
Come on, baby!
They look up to see two of the B-17s coming into land. The groups of waiting men wander towards the tarmac, some on foot, some on bicycles. As the planes swoop into land, the army ambulances head for the runway. Colonel Harriman comes tensely out onto the control tower veranda.
How many so far?
9, sir.
There's another one out there.
And the bell?
No, sir, not yet.
Harriman looks up at the sky through binoculars. The Memphis Belle is flying over the channel.
Feather prop, cut fuel. Listen, man, we're flying on 2 engines now. Let's lighten up. Throw out everything you can. We're close enough to home so you can lose your guns.
We never did get that fighter, did we? Ah, shit on a stick.
Jack throws out his gun.
Oh, Hitler, you can have my bullets too.
Crouching down, Clay tosses out his gun and ammunition belts. Phil drops out his gun, then kissing his helmet, he lets that fall too. Verge climbs into the cockpit.
Ain't that a pretty sight?
He points out of the window. England's peaceful shores, blanketed by mist and cloud. Dennis smiles at Luke. Val bends attentively over Danny, who is lying motionless on his back, the wind wafting over his face and through his hair. In a field, he holds an open notebook.
I balanced all. Brought all to mind. The years to come seemed a waste of breath. A waste of breath the years behind. In balance with this life, this death.
Kate.
Danny lifts his head.
It's okay, Dad. I didn't read that stubby V8. I couldn't. Take it easy.
Danny's head drops back, his eyes close. Val leans forward and pulls back an eyelid.
Don't do this to me, Danny!
Val pumps frantically over Danny's heart.
Damn it! Come on, Danny! One more like that.
His eyes still closed, Danny takes a rasping breath. Val rests Danny's head on a jacket.
You try that again and I'll kill you.
At the airbase, Colonel Derringer paces anxiously, his hands held behind his back. The other airmen stand around, muttering concernedly and looking up at the sky. On the veranda of the control tower, Harriman looks through his binoculars. On the grass, Luke's dog looks up at the sky, then rests his head sadly on his paws. In the cockpit of the Memphis Belle, Verge crouches behind Dennis and Luke.
Landing gear.
He flicks a switch on the control panel. Under the B-17, only one wheel lowers.
Something's wrong. Something is wrong. My wheel didn't come down.
All right, take it back up, we'll belly land.
Nothing's coming up, nothing's going down.
The electric must be totally out.
All right, Verge, lower the wheel by hand. Luke, monitor the wheel, tell me when it's down. Crew, take positions for crash landing.
Get out of the way! Get out of the way! Get out of the way! Come on, Jack, you gotta help me!
Grabbing a crank, Verge and Jack crouch above the jammed wheel. Placing the crank in its slot, Verge begins turning it rapidly. In the cockpit, Luke and Dennis start as another engine blows.
Loser number 3! Are we out of fuel?
2 gauges shot out. How long can we fly in 1 engine?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Flying shakily over the patchwork fields of England, the B-17 judders dangerously. The exhausted crew sit huddled around Danny, jolted by the movement of the plane. Jack watches anxiously as Verge turns the crank as fast as he can. The wheel comes down a little more. At the airbase, Luke's dog still lies with its head resting desolately on its paws. On the tower, Harriman removes the binoculars from his eyes and lowers his head. Derringer, still pacing, looks at his watch. On the tower, Harriman turns to go inside. Suddenly, Luke's dog lifts its head, pricking up its ears. Through his binoculars, Harriman spies the wounded Memphis Belle. By the crank...
Come on, come on.
Get out of the way, Bert. Oh, let me in there.
Verge makes room for Jack. Verge slips and below him the hatch opens. He's left dangling, the green fields far below racing underneath him. Verge looks down, petrified, his legs thrashing. Finding a foothold, he scrambles back up into the body of the plane.
Come on, come on! Faster, faster!
Phil crouches down by Jack.
Come on! I got it!
The wheel is almost down. Phil takes over, standing astride the gaping hatch. The Memphis Belle hovers low in the sky. Phil turns the crank manically. In the cockpit, Dennis struggles to keep hold of the plane. The control column shakes in his hands. Phil's arm becomes a blur as he turns the crank faster and faster. The wheel drops down a little further.
Oh my God, it's only got one wheel down.
The Memphis Belle approaches the airfield. The waiting men point anxiously. Inside the B-17, Val mumbles the words of a song. Eugene clutches his medal and prays. Dennis fights to keep the plane above the trees. Phil still turns the crank. The wheels of the Memphis Belle skim the tops of the trees as it nears the runway. Harriman stands, tight-lipped.
Flaps!
We're not gonna die!
Phil's arm flashes round as he rotates the crank faster and faster. In the cockpit, Luke prays to himself. The Memphis Belle passes inches above some Nissan huts and heads for the runway. The tarmac blurred beneath him, Phil frantically turns the crank. Inches from the ground, the defective wheel is finally lowered. And the Memphis Belle lands safely with its heroic crew. As his friends shout for joy, Danny's eyes flicker open. The waiting men run towards the plane, racing to welcome home their colleagues. Inside the plane, Verge grabs Rascal's face in both hands and kisses him on the cheek. Still moving along the runway, the Memphis Belle leaves a trail of grey smoke behind it. Luke's dog runs at the feet of the men, his eyes wide with anticipation. Danny smiles weakly at his friends as the B-17 gradually comes to a standstill on the faded yellow grass on the edge of the runway. Glass is scattered on the control panel as Dennis makes his last adjustments to the switches. As relief takes hold of Luke, Dennis turns to look at him. They gaze steadily at each other. Then, removing his flak jacket, Luke gets up and leaves the cockpit. With tears in his eyes, Dennis removes his cap and, reaching forward, takes the black and white photograph of his girlfriend, which is tucked in the control panel. Staring at it, he glances up at the heavens and smiles gratefully. Carefully, the crew stretch a Danny out of the side of the plane.
I'm gonna need the IV. You're gonna have to be up to me.
Yeah, somebody back that
right here. Lois.
Verge slaps the Memphis Belle affectionately. Jack looks around him, dazed. Rascal searches for a cigarette as Clay kneels down and kisses the ground. Luke's dog races into his arms as Derringer arrives.
Welcome back, boys! Terra firma, huh? You can clear this whole area out!
Derringer organises the Memphis Belle crew for a photo call.
Can we have the officers in front? Luke, why don't you come around to the front?
Dennis staggers out of the plane.
Okay, officers in the center, move. Move in front.
Take the picture.
Luke chucks the camera at Derringer.
What's wrong, Cap?
Dennis contemplates his crew seriously, then shaking the bottle of Moët, he shakes it over them, the white foam spraying over their laughing faces. Caps are tossed in the air as the men stand around the smoking Memphis Belle. The Memphis Belle flew her 25th and final mission on the 17th of May 1943. Over a quarter of a million aircraft battled for supremacy in the skies over Western Europe, and nearly 200,000 aircrew lost their lives. This film is dedicated to all the brave young men, whatever their nationality, who flew and fought in history's greatest airborne confrontation. ITFC audio description by Michael Baker, Diana Speed, and Amy DeLarabiti.